Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for goodness and mercy tonight. As we're down here tonight. Sister Nancy tonight and El Latham. Praise God for you, Ella Russell and Russell. Thank God for you. Ella Jenkins, praise the Lord. Good to see Kayla tonight and Cherise, praise the Lord. Ella Harrison, India, who's always here, thank God for you. Let's see who else we got. Oh, Sister Jackie Terrell, praise the Lord. How are you tonight? God bless you. Praise God for you. And thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for the people of God and you I miss.
Here.
Who am I looking at? I said I was
here.
Huh? Ooh. Oh, they all won. Praise the Lord. Don't just disturb me. Get out of here. Leave me alone. I'm doing the best I can. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for all of you. Thank God for the people of God. Brother Dave. Today. Want to look tonight and for a few minutes. Won't be long tonight. Getting ready to go Friday night. It's good to have everyone here. I'm going to look at the scripture in John that we cover a lot tonight. And I'm just going to talk about it for a minute and go on in God. And I thank God for the Word of God because Paul wrote in one place, and I'm not sure exactly where it was. And as I was playing the drums, I was thinking about it because I had a couple things come up. And you know, I'm over here pounding on these drums, probably sound like trash, but I'm doing the best I can. And I'm doing it to the glory of God. I would rather have someone else do it who knows what they're doing more. But until that time, you know, you learn to do whatever you need to do in God. But whatever you do in God, you've got to do it so that it glorifies God. And I like what it says in James when it talks about the wisdom of God that comes down, the wisdom that comes down from above. And it says in James that it's first of all pure.
Yes.
The wisdom that comes from above, before it's kind, gentle, or anything else, it is first of all pure.
Pure, yes.
That means that it has the purpose, God's purpose in mind. It has God's reason in mind, has God's plan in mind. It is by God, for God. It is, first of all, pure.
Yes.
It doesn't have, although when we do the will of God, there are so many blessings that we get. When we look at, when we start moving in God, God becomes a tremendous advantage. And since the world and the earth and everything belongs to him, then it opens so many doors and does so much for us. And,
yes.
Moves in so many ways. So everybody should have God, and we get to a point after a while where we preach to the point where we preach more about God's blessings than about God. And I've got something on the burner. I'm gonna be down in Lilita Valley for their pastor's anniversary the last Saturday in the month, and I'm going to zoom out to a few people to whoever would want to see it. And And the Lord's given me a thought for that already, although sometimes at the last minute or sometimes before he changes it. But there is so much in God and so much to have in God that sometimes it is good to preach the benefits of God. It's good to preach the prosperity because everybody needs prosperity. You might not have it, but it sure isn't because you don't need it.
Right. Amen.
And, you know, and you should let God know, Lord, I have some shortages.
Yes.
Elijah said to this woman when he came to her, the widow woman, God had told her, he said, I'm going to send my servant, and when he comes, I want you to sustain him or maintain him. And
yes.
She was looking for him to come. And she knew what God had told her she needed to do, but also she expected that when he showed up, God was going to give her a blessing.
Yes.
And when Elijah shows up, this woman has not just a need for eternal life, but she needs a blessing in the earth because she doesn't have anything.
Right, yes.
Everybody can be in a famine, but Elijah, but she blesses, but Elijah blesses her.
Yes.
So when Elijah comes, she has shortages, and maybe you're going through a shortage.
Yes.
And when the Lord shows up, he fulfills your shortage. You need him for that.
Yeah.
If Elijah had showed up and said only to her, and it isn't, and someone might say, Elijah didn't say to her, well, you're just going to go to heaven. You just pray to God you're going to heaven. Listen, this woman already knew about heaven, because if God was speaking to her, she knew where God was speaking her
from. Yes. Amen.
So don't ever think that when we say to, when we preach to people that the Lord will bless you, that you can preach to people. You can't use a scripture where God is blessing someone and say, well, the Lord didn't say anything. They didn't say anything about heaven. These people in the Word of God, especially those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they know about heaven already.
Yes, amen.
They know that God comes from there, and they know that the blessing of God is there. But when he shows up, no matter, you know, she has a great shortage and she's going through, and it's not because she doesn't believe God. As a matter of fact, she's in an absolutely desperate situation. She's going to cook the last little bit she's got, and then she's going to go in and feed it to her son, and they're just going to wait to go on home,
mm-hmm.
as we would say.
Yeah.
But when the man of God comes and blesses it, then she's able to really sustain herself, not only for a day, but to keep on, and God lets make sure that her blessing doesn't run out. So there's a great blessing in being in God, and if I could convince everyone always in preaching and teaching is that you there's no loss in God, and there's every gain for being in God in this life and in the life to come. Peter said in one place, he said, Lord, we have forsaken all. In other words, Peter told him, he says, when we went to the ministry, we put it first. Mm-hmm. We followed you. It doesn't mean that they abandoned their wives and their children or whatever they have. But he meant, he says, we have made you our top priority. What do we get?
Yes.
And he says, you're going to get blessed in this lifetime 100-fold. Among all the things that are important to you, family, friends, and everything that's important, God will bless you. He says, and you're going to get eternal life, which is the main thing that God comes to give.
Yes.
So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. I want to look in John for a few minutes in the fourth chapter, and the famous woman at the well that we love to preach about, and we preach it from every angle there is. It's like watching we preach the woman at the well so much. It's like watching a movie that has about 10 or 15 cameras running, and they show you every angle. When you watch a football game, they show you a play over and over, and they have about 10 cameras, and they show you every angle of where the ball was and everything, and examine it, and then they tell you what the quarterback did do, what he didn't do. He threw the pass off his back foot, or he threw it off his back foot and still was able to throw it for 52 yards, and then the receiver caught it with his left hand, although he's right-handed, And you know what? They just examine it and just go around. So you know what we need to do? We need to examine the Word of God.
Right.
And get everything out of it we can get. And Jesus comes to the woman at the well. And tonight, this is a short tonight. He comes to the woman at the well. And we all basically know the story. And the first thing he says to her is that if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you wouldn't, you would be asking me to bless you instead of me asking you to bless me. And he says to her that he has something that she really needs. He's going to fulfill a need. And just like with Zacchaeus, he's talking about come out of a tree. And when we preach that, we always tell everybody, come out of your tree. Tonight with this woman at the well, Jesus says to her, I have water springing up to everlasting life, water that doesn't end.
Yeah.
It continues. It's going to go on forever and ever. Have you ever spoken to anybody? Has anyone over here ever spoken to anybody or ever heard anybody on TV or whatever who will tell you how much they used to be saved? And they'll say, like, I grew up in a Pentecostal church and my dad was a preacher, so forth and so on, my granddad, and I used to really love the Lord. I used to really pray and I was on fire for God, and I was kind of preaching myself, and and I probably spoke in tongues and done everything else. And you're wondering, how did you stop doing that?
Yeah.
And then they'll probably say something like, I probably need to go back to it, And it leaves you saying, what was missing with them? How could you know the Lord and leave him? Because we know it can be done, because the Bible is full of people who knew God and left him. What the most famous one, I guess, is Judas.
Yeah.
But even in Paul's day, he has demons and all of them, they leave the Lord. But somewhere along the line, when you do that, something shifts and changes the priority that you have in your life. And, and something becomes more important than God. I used to preach and say, you just stop believing. Well, they'll still tell you they still believe in God, but somehow or another something has done like Solomon. It has replaced the love that they had for God. And whether it's self or whether it's the world or whatever it is and however it came to be, it's something they allowed to happen because, you know, as long as you're trying to hold on to God, God will hold on to you. And down to the last moment when you think, you know, things are not going to go well and you should give up on God, the Holy Ghost never gives up until you just basically tell him to get out. You know, we say, you know, you do some things, the Holy Ghost will leave you. Well, you know, you do some things that say to the Holy Ghost, you're just not welcome here any longer. I want to do this, I want to do that, or however. And are we doubt to the point where we just don't want to hear him anymore? But one way or another, it has to be a choice that we make. And as Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, you know, he comes to her and he says to her, you know, I'm going to give you something tonight that's going to last you. If you'll have this, this is going to last you forever. And each time for every person that's saved, that comes to the Lord and asks the Lord to save them, they need to know that what they're receiving is something that will last them forever if they will let it. And so you have to give them the part that lasts forever. It's good to come to God because you're out of money and you need the Lord to bless you with money. And I will tell you right up front, if you'll come to God, God will make a way. And I can show you scriptures where God will bless you with money. And it will be true. But it's earth money. It's not going to last forever. If you need a job, I can show you in the Word of God where you can come to God. I can show you with Elijah and Elisha how God will make a way for you and how you can be, you know, how the Lord will open doors that no man can shut and the Lord will go forth. But it's an earth job. And when you come to the Lord, if you will come to the Lord for that, then there has to be, you know, and you're asking the Lord to wash you and cleanse you and keep you. It's no wonder that the big thing on your mind is about the job or about the money, because those are things you know about. But I got to get you to stand here long enough for me to tell you about something you're not sure about, everlasting life. Because in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that the things of this world are temporal. So there's not a problem with telling somebody, you know, when they're sick, why don't you try Jesus? He's a healer. It's true. And there's no problem with saying to someone, when they're really going through, the Lord will deliver you and the Lord will bring you out, because that's true. It's not a problem saying to someone when they're hungry and when they don't have something, and you're preaching, you say, you know what? The Lord will put food on your table and shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, because God will do all that. It's not wrong to tell somebody when they're in trouble, the Lord will be a lawyer in the courtroom and the lawyer will work things out. The Lord will work things out because God will do that.
Yes, he will.
The Lord will go before you. When you look at Joseph, the Lord will make a way and bring you out. But somewhere along the line, when you come to God, you have to have that last part that he said to Peter, and also everlasting life. Because the job that God blesses you with is an earth job. And the money that God blesses you with is earth money. And the house that God gives you, God will give it to you. Glory to God. It's earth house. And this body that he heals, thank you, Jesus, is an earthly body. And I want the one that doesn't have to be healed and worked on and patched on. And somewhere along the line, I need to tell you about that one. And then I've got to tell you that the Lord will make things work for you in the earth. But this is not the end of God's hand. He has prepared a better place for you. It's not fair of me to have you just serving God because of how he's doing things on earth. And we're glorifying God for that. But I need to tell you that the job you have is not as great as the end result that he has. And the house that he has for you on earth is not as great as the mansion that he has. And the healing he has for you on earth is not as great as the immortal body that he has. I have to tell you that. And I'm watching people preach and teach. And it's no wonder that people cycle through churches. It's no wonder they cycle through. Because I get what I want. I don't stay at McDonald's all night. I just stay there long enough to get what I need. And then I go on. And it works for a while. I think all the time, how can you be on fire for God one day, and the next time I see you, it's lost its luster.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I got you to come to God for Him to heal you, somewhere in the process, I needed to say to you, now you need to glorify God.
Yeah.
Because the healing is just a foretaste of things to come.
Amen.
It's not the end of everything. He's just showing you how great He is and how good He is.
Yeah.
And so far, what you have partaken of God is God's grace and His mercy.
Yeah.
And He has something better in store for you.
Yeah.
You receive the promises, but there is a promise of eternal life.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, for everybody who's listening tonight, if God is blessing you with a job, that's a foretaste of things to come.
Yes.
Because you're not going to work that job for eternity. And if God has sent you a mailbox blessing, I got one this week because they dropped my flood insurance and I got two large checks. Thank you, Jesus. But those checks are not going to last me. I spent them before I got them. All I can do is put them on a credit card.
Yeah.
And if God has brought you out of a situation and you're going through it in the earth, glory to God. I got a word from Elder Chisholm today, and he was saying that he's 95% cancer free from having cancer.
Yeah.
And we were glorifying God. I got a report from Elder from Mother Ware last week, says she's 100%. They couldn't find any cancer in her any place. Glory to God. But yet, Lazarus, this body is not immortal.
Yeah, yes.
And I thank God for the healing. I wish God would heal everybody. I'm praying He healed everybody out there tonight. Sister Nancy needs a touch tonight, and I need a touch. And who else out there? T'Angela needs a touch. Many of us need a touch from God. And yet, there's a greater blessing when we're changed from mortal to immortal. It's not, I've got to tell you that when He heals you, this is just a sample of what happens when I go to glory. And I've got to tell you, it's a sample that ends in the earth, because as long as this body is mortal, when I get over one cold, something else comes. And when I stop sneezing, then my knee aches. And when my knee stops hurting, my shoulder hurts. And when that doesn't stop, my tooth starts to hurt. And then if I work too long, my head hurts. And because this body is not supposed to last forever.
That's right. Amen.
It would have if sin had not come.
Yes.
So I need to tell you that when you're blessed with whatever blessing it is, when you're in the, as He told them in the wilderness, the land of milk and honey, it's just a foretaste of things to come.
Yes.
And I have to say to you, like Paul, but if you think this new car you got is a blessing, I have not seen, ear hath not heard what great blessings they have in heaven. If you think this house is really great, wait till you see your mansion.
Yeah, yes.
If you think this healing is great, and glory to God for it, because without it you would die, and you're going home to God, and God is a healer. Have faith in God.
Yes.
When you're sick, ask God. When you're down, ask God. When you're going through, go to God. God will bring you out. In a troubled time, God is a deliverer. And if you think this deliverance is great, wait till you get caught up.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Watch what happens when you see Jesus and you change from mortal to immortal. If you think this move in the earth was great, and you should, and if you think this is worth glorifying God, I need to tell you, this is just the beginning. This doesn't even qualify as the tip of the iceberg concerning what God has in store for you.
Amen.
So Jesus tells this lady at the well, He says to her, it's in John the 4th chapter, and Jesus says in 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, talking about on the earth. And He's making a point here, and really Jesus is moving in the spirit, because when I'm preaching, and sometimes I ask Sean about it, Ellis Smith and all of them about, how well did you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to make a connection with where I'm going with where you are.
Yes.
And obviously, when Jesus tells this lady, you know, that this water that you're drinking And he says to her, and I'm not sure this is all the conversation or if it has just been truncated so that we just get the words that we need to know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he explained to her or whatever. But his point he makes to her is that what you're looking for in the earth won't last forever.
Yes.
But I have something.
Yes.
That will fix your problems forever.
Forever, yes.
Went out a couple weeks ago. Brought up, ultimately had to have a new car because her car had come to an end, as all cars do. And now we're wondering, is this going to, you know, if Jesus doesn't come, if Jesus comes, we don't really care if new car or not. But if Jesus doesn't come, will it last? Is there another one due between now and the time we see Jesus?
Yeah.
Because they don't last forever. It's not the devil gets in your tires and makes them flat. It's not the devil gets in your motor and causes it to throw a rod. It's not the devil that makes your battery go dead. You just let the lights on.
Yeah.
And it's a mechanical contrivance.
Yes.
And it breaks down because it's not permanent.
Yes, yeah.
And Jesus says to this woman, he says, what I'm going to give you in 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And then she goes on and says to him, I perceive you're a preacher.
Yeah.
And she asked a question that's going around so much today, and this is the end of this sermon. And she gets all the way down to about verse number 19. And the woman said to them, sir, I perceive, or I see that you're a prophet. I can tell you're a preacher. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And so she says to him, which one of these churches do I need to go to? You know how we like to tell people where they need to go to church?
Yeah.
We love to tell people where they need to go to church. You need to be in my church. No, you need to be in God.
Yes.
Now, I can get it when you say you need to be in my church if the reason you're saying that is because your church is going to get them to God.
Yes.
I understand why we want people to come to Promise, because we preach the gospel here.
Yes.
But we dare not say to them, if you don't get the gospel and Promise, you're not going to get it anywhere.
No. Right.
I understand why, you know, when you're inviting people to church, I get it. You know, if your wisdom is, first of all, pure, the main thing on your mind is, I know what your problem is. You need Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
I know who could work things out for you and your husband. Jesus could.
Yes.
I know who could get you out of this situation. Jesus could.
Yeah.
I know who could heal you. Jesus can.
Yeah.
I know who could bring you out. Jesus can.
Yeah.
But by God, when they walk through your door, you need to give them Jesus.
Jesus, yes. Yes, amen.
Because that's why they came.
Yes, yes.
When they come through your door, they need a touch from heaven.
Yes, yes.
Because that's why they came.
Yeah.
They didn't come to just fill up your pews.
Yes.
They came because you told them that you knew somebody who would give them a well of water springing up to everlasting life, and they would not run out. And when they come in, don't flip the script and do the bait and switch. And I wanted to get you to my church promising you your problems would be solved, but now I need you to become a proselyte and be one of us, and make sure that you don't listen to anybody but one of us. No, what you need to hear about is Jesus.
Jesus, yes, amen.
Because he's the one, if you get healed, it's going to be in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're blessed, it's going to be in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
If your burdens are lifted, it's going to be in the name of Jesus. And it's going to be by the Spirit of God. When you pray for someone, it's going to be in the name of Jesus. And the prayer is going up by the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
So this woman asked Jesus, she asked Jesus a good question, because the Jews held to it that unless you went up to the temple every year to offer up sacrifices, you were out of touch with God. And they were telling the truth, because until that time, you had to go through the temple, because there had to be that sacrifice given every year, that atonement. And everybody had to come and bring their offerings and their tithes. And they had to come in and go through all the ordinances and the sacrifices to stay in touch with God. During Jeroboam's time, he told them, hey, look, I got a branch temple out here in Mount Gerizim, And if you don't go up to Jerusalem, which he wasn't right about, then you can come over here to Mount Gerizim. But the point being was, they told them, if you don't go to church A or church B, you can't possibly be saved.
Yes, amen.
And during that time, it was true because the only way you could be saved was become a Jewish proselyte.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus told him, he says, we know who God is. He says, you don't know what you're serving. You're out here in idolatry. We know who God is.
Yes.
We know who we serve. He says, but it doesn't matter. He told her, down in his last couple of verses, he says, God is a spirit. 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worship shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh to worship him, such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And what he was saying to her was, and I'm almost done, he said to her, it doesn't matter whether it's church A, B, C, or Z. If you're going to get a blessing from God, the spirit has to be there.
Yes.
If you're going to get an anointing from God, the spirit has to be there. He says it's not confined to just a church or that church. It's anywhere the Spirit moves. Mm-hmm. He said, my point is to you, the time is coming where you're not going to have to go up to Jerusalem anymore, because when I go through the cross, then everybody's going to serve me in spirit, and the Spirit's going to flow without measure. And everybody, you know, anywhere you can fall on your knees, you're not going to have to go before the Ark of the Covenant. You can get to God. Because the Holy Ghost will cause you to sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and you can get to God. He says, but you do have to have a church where the Spirit is moving. And you do have to pray through the Spirit. But don't let anybody tell you the only way you can be saved is be in this church. And if you leave this church, you can't be saved. Because the Jews were famous for that. If you don't come to the temple, you can't be saved. Well, they were telling the truth until Jesus.
Jesus came, yes.
And then Paul says, the law has been nullified.
Yeah.
Now the grace and truth have come.
Yes.
Now the Christ has told him. That's why he told him. He says, you know, when they said, we don't want you to go away. He said, I know you don't want me to go away. I get it.
Yeah.
When I'm with you, everybody's fed. When I'm with you, everybody's healed. Because he says, but the point is the Holy Ghost moves within me without measure. He says, but I need to go.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need a great high priest in a few days.
Yeah.
Because Aaron and his sons are not going to be able to go before God for you. Because the temple's going to be done away. And you're going to need someone to be a mediator between you and God. And that's me.
Yeah.
And I'm going and I'll send to my Father, and I'm going to be your great high priest in heaven itself.
Yeah.
And in the true temple before God, I'm going to present the blood of sprinkling that for the remission of all sins. I'm going to do that. He says, but I'm going to leave you somebody. The same Holy Ghost you've seen moving all these 3 years in me, you're going to have him. He's going to move and he's going to do the things that I've done. And the people who need to be healed, he's going to heal.
Yeah.
And the people who need to be lifted up, he's going to lift them up. And the people who need to be brought up, he's going to bring them out.
Yes.
Jesus told this lady, he says, you know, because we like to sit around and talk about who can be saved where. I told Sean the other night, you know, we're so big on say you talk to Sean and Ellison a lot. I do. If you live with people, you ought to talk about God. Told her the other night, I'm looking at how people preach right now, and they preach a lot of faith, and it's not wrong to preach faith because you got to have faith.
Faith, yes.
And they preach how people are bringing them out, and they're right, and God is moving for them. But somewhere along the line, you got to tell them about heaven.
Heaven, yes.
Somewhere along the line, you know, when you're telling people how to speak it and proclaim it and do, I don't knock any of that. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You got to have, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Yes.
You need the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, you see men and women of faith. You see Abraham's faith. You see all those, but you got to find, you got to figure out sooner or later, but Abraham's faith is not in the miracle. His faith is in God.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus told this lady, he says, you get to a point after a while. He says, it's coming a day where it doesn't matter whether you're in, where you are, which church you go to, but you have to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But you've got to serve God in spirit.
Yes.
The spirit has to be moving. And finish my thought on this. I said to Sean the other day, when I was growing up, it's kind of a change now. Because when we preach and teach, when I watch all the people, and I do, I watch a lot of people now, not people on television, I watch people that I know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that we know on Facebook preaching and teaching, and they're doing a good job of it, too.
Yeah.
I don't argue with what they're preaching and teaching because I go along with it. There are quite a few of them who preach really well and got good followings, and people are coming, and I listen to them and hear the word of God. They're preaching. I have to say, like Pilate concerning them, I find no fault in them.
Yeah, amen.
They're really preaching and teaching. If I was to say one thing, I just don't hear them mention heaven enough.
Yes.
And that's between them and their ministry. As long as they're moving in the spirit and God is using them, they can go on. But when I was growing up, I noticed that people were raggedy. They didn't have much. They had outdoor toilets. They had a lot of things. But their faith in God, the one thing that they always would have faith in is they believed in going to heaven.
Yes.
And they weren't preaching that God will bless you, God will bless you, God will bless you, God will bless you. What they were preaching was, is God will take you to heaven.
Yes.
They weren't preaching about getting a blessing in the mailbox. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't, you know, they had a car, didn't have a car, whatever. But what they really believed was, if I serve God, I'll go to heaven.
Amen.
The reason why they went to church on Sunday, and if you say, why are you going to church on Sunday? They didn't say, I'm going to church on Sunday because I need a blessing. They said, I'm going to church because I need to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And you ask them why they were praying, they weren't praying. They said, well, I need God to work this out, whatever. But they said, well, why are you serving God? Because I need to go to heaven.
Yes.
And I need a blessing now. I'm asking God for a manna blessing, for promise, and for so many people. We have so many people who need to be healing. I'm asking God, Lord, please heal these people. They've been sick for a long time.
Yes.
Lord, please give them a good report. Yes. Lord, please work these things out.
Yes.
And I'm asking God to do it because I need them to see God's glory so that they can be reminded there is a heaven.
Yes.
I need them to know that the God of heaven is the one who's blessing them.
Yes.
God of heaven is the one who's healing them. God of heaven is the one to deliver them. Because in that day when your headache doesn't go away, you're going to need to know about heaven.
Yes.
And in that day when the hurricane comes, and the winds are blowing everybody's house over, you need to know about heaven.
Yes.
And if the job you want falls through because the devil gets in it, as he does sometimes, you need to know that he can't stop you from going to heaven.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen. All the trials and things they went through in the wilderness, and God promised them a land of milk and honey, and God delivered.
Yes,
because God always delivers.
Yes, he always delivers.
But the point was, they were supposed to know that there was that promise, and then there was an eternal promise. All these died in faith. What was the faith for? It wasn't for riches, because they had riches.
Yes.
All these died in faith, not having received the promise. What was the promise? It wasn't cattle and camels and all those, because Abraham had all those. Isaac had all those.
Yeah.
All these died in faith, not having received the promise. It wasn't the land of milk and honey, because they went in that.
Yeah.
All these died in faith, not having received the promise. It wasn't that Jerusalem would be restored, because it was restored.
Yeah.
These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Well, it wasn't that they wouldn't have power, wouldn't have healing, because they had all that.
Yeah.
What was the promise? Eternal life.
Yes.
These all died in faith, not having received the promise. It wasn't money, because they had money.
Yes.
It wasn't houses, because they had houses. It wasn't cattle and land, because they had cattle and land. As long as they would obey God, God would see them through. It wasn't that God would abandon them. They'd be, you know, the devil could destroy everything like Job, but God restored it twofold.
Yes, it is.
God would heal them. God would deliver them. And when Jesus came, he healed the multitudes, and he fed the multitudes, and he raised men and women from the dead. So when it says these all died in faith, not having received the promise, it was none of those. The promise was, in my Father's house there are many mansions.
Yes.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Yes.
And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Yeah.
The promise was that one of these days you'll be changed from mortal to immortal.
Yes.
One of these days you'll rise and Jesus will come back.
Yes.
And all those who are his, he's going to be be caught up.
Right.
The promise is, if I die tomorrow, I'll go to heaven.
Yes.
That's the promise.
That's the promise. Yes.
But it's not a new promise. It's the one that Abraham knew.
Yes.
It's the one that Isaac knew.
Yeah.
It's why Sarah had faith.
Yes.
It's why all of them, it wasn't just the blessing. These people were rich.
Yes.
And yet, these all died in faith, not having received the promise.
Yeah.
So then now we get to a point where I'm mighty afraid. I was telling Elder Smith Shaw the other day, I'm not so sure that there won't be more people saved in the tribulation than there are in the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Because we stopped short.
Yes.
I think you should give God glory for everything you get. Give him glory for your job.
Yes.
And thank God for it and say, Lord, you just let me know that the promise is out there.
Yes.
Give God glory for the healing. Thank God for the healing. Thank him that you're, and as old people say, you're on this side of the ground and your bed is not your cooling board. Give God the glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm alive and in health. Yes. I thank you for delivering me from high blood pressure and from sugar and whatever. And for every healing that God gives, there's not a healing that God gives that I don't want in this mortal body and one that I won't give him thanks for. But it is not the ultimate promise.
Yeah, that's right.
The promise is eternal life.
I
am come that ye might have
life. Yes.
Talking about life living in the earth as opposed to being dead to Christ, being dead to God.
Yes.
You have life now. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're no longer lost. I am come that you might have life, that the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and you have to be quickened or brought back to life who was dead in trespasses and sin. I am come that you might have life.
Yes.
And that you might have life more abundantly, referring to eternal life.
Yes, amen.
It is good. You know, I don't have a problem telling somebody, I wish every homeless person that I give a dollar to or $2 to would come to service, because when I give them a dollar, I invite them. And when I see, you know, when I have an opportunity to speak to them, I tell them, why don't you come to service? And sometimes we get telephone calls and they're asking, do you have a clothing locker? Do you have a food pantry? I wish we did. I'm not knocking. I wish we had a Superman.
Yeah.
But feeding you is not the point. The point of it is you need to glorify God.
Yes.
The soup line would only give me a chance to keep saying to you, why don't you glorify God?
Yes.
The clothing locker would give me a chance to say to you, why don't you glorify God?
Yes.
My goodness gracious, hasn't everybody figured out by now? The devil can make you rich. I was thinking about on the way here, and I said, well, is that really the devil making them rich?
Yes.
I just got it. I know the devil can make you rich. I said, well, how you got a businessman? Because he told Jesus himself, if you'll serve me, I'll give you every
kingdom
in the world.
Yep.
And amen.
Yep. Yeah.
But he can't give you
everlasting life. Amen.
You can make a pact with the devil and get rich. They're all around us. They sit in Washington, D.C. every day.
Yes. Amen.
But they can't give you
everlasting life.
They got one right now that's so evil, I'm praying and asking God. Say, Lord, why don't you do something about him? Because he does trouble the nations.
Yes, yes.
But only in God can you have
everlasting life.
So
yes.
Jesus told this lady, if you're one of those people who has made up your mind that people can't get saved unless they come to your church, you need to get out of that idea. If you're one of these people who made up your mind that people are not saved unless they're in your organization, you need to get out of that.
Right. Yes, right.
You make God be a very small-minded, myopic God if the only person he's using is you.
Yeah.
If the only people he's using are the people you know.
Yeah.
I give God glory because there's so many people going out to the world. You sound worse than Elijah. I'm the only person preaching. And God told Elijah, I got 700 people.
Yeah.
Still preaching right around here.
Yeah, right.
Who have not bowed a knee to Baal. I've got other people who believe in me. You're not the only one in whom the Holy Ghost dwells.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if we've got this mindset that, you know, if you leave this church, you can't be saved. You need to get out of that. Because Jesus told this woman point blank, if you don't get nothing else, he told her the time is coming, and the Jews at that time had a right to say, if you're not in the temple, you're not saved.
Yeah.
They had a right to say, if you're not Jewish, you don't belong to God.
Yeah.
But he told her in a few days, when I die and when I'm buried and when I'm resurrected, I'm going to fulfill the law, and then everybody who will receive me as God's son and believe that I have been risen from the dead and that I have ascended on high, he says, if you will do that, the Holy Ghost will come in, forgive you, wash you, cleanse you of all your sins, your name will be written on high, and you can worship God anywhere where the Spirit is moving.
Yeah, yes.
He told her, God is a spiritual being. He has a body. It's a divine body.
Yes.
But our connecting, you know, me and Paul are getting old. We can't even hear each other from one side of the house to the other. You know we can't yell to heaven. We need the Holy Ghost to carry all our prayers up. We sit in the car next to each other and still can't understand what each other is saying. You know we need the Holy Ghost to get our prayers to heaven.
Yes.
You can't even yell through your roof. We made this building as tight as we could concerning sound. Nothing goes up except by the Spirit. You can scream all you want and pour out and release it. And I encourage you to do that on the day that the Spirit tells you to do it. But it isn't that God hears your voice because of that. It's because it goes to heaven by the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Communion is of the Spirit.
Yes.
So I don't know about that business. It says, well, Elijah saw a hurricane, saw an earthquake. That wasn't God. He saw whirlwind, that wasn't God. He saw a fire, that wasn't God. It was hot and exciting. But God just came in a small, still voice and communicated to him. We can be as loud as we want, and when you have liberty in God, I encourage you to do so. If you want to run around the church, go ahead. If it sets you free and sets your mind free, and you want to jump up and down and turn, don't break up the furniture, but go ahead. If that's what makes you, if that's how you feel like you need to do to explain yourself to God, I've yelled out and screamed out to God sometimes in prayer so much that I said, if somebody outside heard me, they think that was killing somebody up in here.
Yeah.
But that's not how my prayer went to heaven. That was my release and my soul venting and me coming before God with all I had and every way I could. But ultimately, the Spirit was the one who communicated to God and said to him, this man is crying out.
Yes.
So that God would hear my prayer.
Yeah.
So Jesus says to this woman, he says, you know what? He says, I'm not going to tell you this church. He says, the time's going to come where it's not going to matter about this church or another church. He says, the point being is it's going to have to be a church where the Holy Ghost dwells.
Yes.
And you're going to have to be somewhere where you can be in the Spirit.
Yes.
He says, because until now in Jerusalem, Aaron's descendant would go in before the Holies of Holies, and the Spirit would come down like fire from heaven. And unless that was done every year, they could not be saved. That was the way they stayed in fellowship with God. But after Jesus went, we are in fellowship with God because the Holy Ghost dwells in every one of us. And whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And wherever we are, whatever church we're in, if we can find the Holy Ghost there.
Yeah, amen.
It doesn't matter. If you can find the Holy Ghost in a Methodist church, you can reach God. If you can find the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church, you can reach God.
Yeah.
If you can find the Holy Ghost in an independent church, you can reach God.
Yeah.
The common denominator is, can you find the Spirit there?
Yeah.
And if you can find the Holy Ghost in whatever church you want to be in, not whatever it is, if you can find the Holy Ghost there, you can reach God.
Amen.
Bishop, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. If you can find the Holy Ghost there, you can reach God. And then on the other side of the coin, it doesn't matter if you're a Pentecostal church that has five words in your name. It doesn't matter how spiritual you claim to be or how much you jump up and down and beat drums and how loud you get. Only by the Spirit do you reach God.
Yeah.
You can drum all day, play all day.
Yeah.
You can have a B3 and a Steinway piano. It does not matter. If you're not moving in the Spirit, you won't reach God.
Amen. That's right.
And that is no reflection on anybody, because we got a B3 up in here.
Yeah.
Most expensive thing we have in the building.
Yep.
But we can play it all night long.
Yeah.
But unless we do so to the glory of God, its music is like a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal.
Amen.
Unless we sing to the glory of God, there's nothing. We can get as loud as we want. The rhythm can be perfect. We can hit every note perfectly. But if we're not in the Spirit, there will be no move of God.
Amen.
By the same token, we can have nothing and get in here and sing in the key of X. And if our heart is right and our motive is pure, we can reach God.
God. Amen. Yeah.
Tell everybody who's coming to your church, everybody standing. If you'll come and ask God and mean it, God will hear you.
Yes.
If you'll come and ask God and mean it, God will save you. If you'll come and ask God and mean it, God will forgive you. If you'll come and try to believe in God, God will move and the Holy Spirit will quicken you. And before you know it, without even knowing why, you'll start to grow and say, I believe God.
Amen.
Without having all the teachings and everything else that goes on. Because when I grew up, the people couldn't, a lot of them couldn't even read, much less do anything else. But somehow or another, they had enough Holy Ghost that they were strong enough. And they didn't have all the teachings we had and all the explanations. Didn't pronounce all the words right. Some of them they couldn't even read. Some of them they couldn't hear. Had no musical instruments but an out-of-tune piano. But one thing about them, they lived 7 days a week planning on going to heaven. Yeah. They had it in their minds that if I go to this church, and we didn't go a whole lot, just twice a week or whatever, but they had it in their mind, I got to go to church because I got to go to heaven.
Yes.
It wasn't, I got to go to church because I have a need. No, I got to go to church because I got to go to heaven.
Amen.
We need to tell people now, you need to come to church because you need to go to heaven.
Amen.
And then when you get here, you know, we have a lot, we're educated now, and need to be so. I'm not knocking it. I love it. I think as much of the Word of God as you can give somebody, and as much as you can explain, as much revelation as you got, the more the better.
Yeah.
The more they hear about God, the better they know Him.
Yes.
The more faith they should have.
Yeah.
But for God's sake, don't let people have faith for faith's sake.
Yes.
Let them have it for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
The end result of all that we do, you got to have eternal life.
Amen.
Your great job ends when you die.
Yep.
You can have Jeff Bezos' money. When he dies, he's going to leave every dime of it, because Paul says it is certain we brought nothing into this world, we shall surely take nothing out.
Yes.
You can have Trump money. It doesn't matter. You can have whatever you want. When you die, it's only what you have in God that matters. And if you have nothing in God, then you have nothing. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Father, we ask you to heal all those that are sick tonight, Lord. All those, Lord, whose names are more than I can call. And some of them I don't even know. And many names I do know. Lord, we thank you for moving in Priya's life. Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to bless her. Lord, we thank you for moving in Ella Chisholm's life. Blessing him. Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to heal him for this other 5%. Lord, we,
yes.
Lord, I'm still praying every day, oh God. Lord, give Ella T'Angelo Rogers a miracle, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, give her perfect soundness. Lord, it's well within your power. Lord, I know because of your great grace and your mercy, Lord, is something that you are willing to do. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her a miracle for your glory's sake. God, we'll glorify your name. Lord, move Ella Smith and finish work out this last surgery. Lord, I thank you for touching Mother Ware, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move in Ella Jenkins, oh God. Give her perfect soundness. Lord, and Ella Paulette, oh God. Lord, strengthen her in body and in spirit in her church. Lord, and Sister Nancy, oh God. Lord, move mightily every way, Lord. And all those, Lord, the new covenant is praying for, oh God. Lord, move for them, oh God. Lord, move for my sister Bridget. Lord, we hope, Lord, your miracles cause us to have great faith. Lord, we glorify your name. And Lord, when you move and when you heal any one of them, move for India tonight. Remember Alicia tonight, Lord, and the curvature of that spine. Lord, shock them and give her a miracle. And the next time they take an x-ray, let it be straight. Lord, move mighty in Jesus' name. Lord, work things out for Sean and work things out for Tamaz. All these babies that have all these allergies, say to the Lord, rebuke and loose them in the name of Jesus. Lord, set them free from all these unclean spirits and all these things that keep the saints of God. Lord, encamp your angels all around us in this turbulent, evil time, oh God. Lord, although we, as David says, we go through the valley and the shadow of death, Lord, Lord, let us fear no evil because you are with us, oh God. Lord, keep us, oh God. Keep us on the highways. Keep us on public transportation. Keep us on airplanes and however we would go. Lord, keep us in the mall, wherever we are, the evil people show up. Oh, God. Keep the people of God. Go before us, oh Lord. Work things out. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, let him speak to us. And Lord, let us hear him, Lord, as he says, go this way and don't go that way. Lord, give us a heart and a mind. Give us ears to hear the Spirit and a heart to hearken unto what he will say. Lord, let us be such that we will listen and obey the Spirit of God so that you will lead us and guide us in the right way. And even more so, God, give us a love for glorifying you. Lord, give us a heart and a mind to glorify your name. Lord, give us a desire to fellowship and dwell among the people of God. Oh, Lord, work the work among us that is marvelous, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let your word in us be a light unto our family and a lamp unto our feet, oh God. Lord, lead us and guide us, oh God, and show us what we must do. Lord, comfort our hearts. Keep us to thyself only. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Do something good in my life. Something good.